Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 1. Remain standing. Let's turn. Romans chapter 1. Here we go. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. You may be seated. Romans 1, verse number 9. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you so much for being a blessing to our guest speaker. I took Brother Fisher to the airport this morning at 4:30, and he spoke, and he said, Pastor, he said, I did not know I came to be a blessing, but I did not know what 2 days at the college would in the ministry would mean for me. And it's those young people, and he referenced several of you, that he knows your parents. And he said, I got a new vision for what you're doing here, and it was very helpful. And young people, that didn't happen solely because of the staff and faculty. It happened because of you, and thank you for breathing life and encouragement into God's men. Thank you very, very much. He's off now to speak for Brother Bill Shutt, who is our graduate that's in York, Pennsylvania, and going on from there into Australia and New Zealand, where he'll also be with some other folks who are related to our ministry. And we thank God for your faithfulness to be here. And how many would say that Pastor Fisher was used of God to speak to your heart? Would you raise your hand? Amen. And that's good. He helped me last night and been a helpful friend of mine since I was 23 years old. And I'm very grateful that God puts people in your life, even though I was never a pastor at that time. For the first 11 years I knew him, I wasn't a pastor. And yet God used him in my heart and life. And later on we became friends. And you're going to have that happen to you. If you'll serve the Lord, you'll have friends in the ministry that you never thought that God would give you an opportunity to know, to love, and to appreciate. And it's great. It's really good. I've got a burden on my heart this morning. You notice we're going to Romans 1 and not 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we'd finish up there. I do want to rehearse with you, and I want to thank the dorm men who raised the money to put up the Timothy principles there at the end of the hallway there. Let's review them one more time real quickly. Chapter 1, chapter 2, prayer and walk with the Lord. Chapter 3, spiritual reproduction. Chapter 4, walk of a godly example, being a good example. Chapter 5 and chapter 6. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that very, very well. It's an outline of the book of 1 Timothy. I think that God will help us with that. As we get ready to go on spring break, which one of those do you think probably might come to surface, especially as you walk off this campus? Anybody want to know? Yes, sir. Okay, prayer and spiritual walk with God, certainly. Gives you a little more time to do that. I think that will be something special. I think there's one more that comes to my mind. Yes, sir, Noah? Yeah, I think that's the one I would pick. Because now you're taking off and you're going. You're not just representing you. You're not just representing your college. You're representing your God. You're representing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're representing your mom and your dad. For whatever reason, sometimes the devil talks us into thinking we're off time, we're on vacation, so we can live differently. Remember, we have some girls sometimes, they get down to O'Hare or Midway, and they go in the bathroom and change clothes, wear something that's not appropriate or not ready. Think, well, I'm done with school, I'm out here, want to change and want to go, and folks go home, and they say, all of a sudden it's okay to watch a movie. It's okay to dress differently or go into church with a less than appropriate dress clothes for church. If you're going home tomorrow and tonight or tomorrow, I encourage you to be in soul winning on Saturday if your church has that. Bring someone. Get on a bus route. Ride a bus route. Come to church with a smile on your face, a Bible in your arm. Go there to be a blessing. Find some people and encourage them. If you get a chance to speak in your youth group, you ought to tell the youth group, listen, live for the Lord, be faithful. Let me tell you some things that happened to me this semester. Tell them about someone you disciple. Tell them about someone that got saved. Be a good testimony. Be a good godly example. You say, well, when I get out of the college, that's what I'll do. No, you won't. What you won't do now, you're not going to do then. And you got to see the bigness of this moment, the bigness of your testimony. You may only be one person in the world, but you're the world to one person. Someone's watching you. I would imagine probably every fourth, fifth, sixth grader in your church knows your name. They know who you are. Every ninth grader, 11th grader, they know who you are. You're from their church. Your pastors talk about, they talk about you on Wednesday night when they go to prayer meeting. Pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. They're at college. And when you come home, it's a big deal. And I want to encourage you to be a blessing. If you're here in the dorms, let's make sure that we have a right testimony. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Idle mind. And you get too much time down. And you ought to have some time to rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. And many of you, you need to rest. You need to sleep. Don't stay up all night long. Okay, get some rest. We want you to. You need that. You got this last semester going through. Most of you got midterms behind you. When you come back, you got to come back, get some projects done, get some things done over the holidays. Don't waste that time. You got a little time, but do rest. Many of you are very tired, and you're at a young stage of your life, and you need to get that rest, and I hope you will. But at the same time, don't get idle. Don't get idle. Have a plan. Have some things you're going to read, some time you're going to spend time with the Lord. Some time you're going to go soul winning. Some time you're going to help and edify. I'd like to encourage every one of you to find your pastor when you get home. Write him a note. Buy him a pack of certs. Do something for him. Don't let him leave that building Sunday morning without you complimenting what the message you preached on. Write him a note. You girls, you ought to go up and hug your pastor's wife, youth pastor's wife. Oftentimes the very loneliest person in church can be that pastor's wife. And the challenges, and you can do something to help her. You can encourage her, and please do that. And your life is really what brings great, great help. Brother Howells used to tell us, you spend your first night at home with your parents. And I think it's great advice. You know, your friends can wait. Let them go out, go visit with them tomorrow. And tell your parents, I just want to be with you for the night. It'll make, after you pick them up off the floor, if they faint, then they'll be so happy. Rather than, where's my friends? And you want to go off and do something with them. You ought to say, you know what, what do you want to do? I'd just like to be with you. Then talk to them. Talk to them about your semester. Maybe you don't feel like talking, but you can talk and tell them some things and tell them how much you appreciate them and love them. And rehearse some memories of what they did for you when you were a child or what they invested in you. Really important. Your testimony is huge. And I really want to encourage you. All of our lives should be used to provoke one another to love and good works. And there's something about that. And wherever it is that you're going on this spring break, let's be sure we're a blessing. And some of you marriage students, make sure that you take care of your wife and your husband and those kind of situations and spend time with them, your children. Don't forget about your younger brothers and sisters. You're coming home, that's a big deal to them. And, if you got a few extra bucks, go down to the corner and buy ice cream for them or take them a drive. Go take them on a walk. Do something with them and love them and invest in them spiritually. How many of you are the oldest child in your home? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up. Oldest children. Okay. You always will be the oldest child in your home. You always will be the one that it doesn't really matter. You always will have influence to some extent. It may not be influential now, but you will be very influential. Make sure your little sister, your brother, doesn't matter if they're next year under you or they're 12 years underneath you, love them, write them, think about them, spend some time with them. You're influencing people for good or for God or for negative. And make sure you spend some time doing that. Sure, love you. My goodness, I couldn't wait to get in chapel today to see you, and I'm very grateful. Thank you for the way you sing, the way you listen, and the way you help and listen to preaching. When guest speakers come, and boy, today, when we walked out, you guys are on fire, but I know it's the last day of school, so you're happy about that. So you want to know who's going to preach and how long, and hurry up. But I think you're a blessing to God's people. Thank you so much. Real quickly, Romans chapter 1. Verse number 9, the Bible says this. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 10, read it with me. Making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have for prosperous journey by the will of God. For I long to see you, and that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. Verse 13 says, Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as also among the Gentiles. Now, verse number 14, I am a debtor. So as much as in me is, it means all I got, I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. Verse 16 together. For I am not ashamed. Our Father, please help us just in a few moments. It's just going to be a short time we're together. But I want to be a help to the young people that I love so very much. Thank you for the churches they've come from. Thank you for the parents that have invested in them. Thank you, Lord, for the investment they have made financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, to be here and to stay here at this March 9th, 2017, here under this roof. Thank you. We love you, Lord, and we want you to help us. I pray you'd help me as you've talked to me in private about this passage. Help me to convey it publicly in a way that would bring honor and glory to you and help to our young people, to our staff and faculty, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, as I contemplated this opportunity to be with you, I don't know if it's the right setting. I don't know if it'd been better if I waited till next week when you got back to talk to you about this. But I want to just address a few of you who I think that, and I don't know how many. I don't know if this is you or not. But I will say, I think that some of you are a little lost. You're trying to figure your way. You're on a teeter totter. You're on the fence. You don't know whether to go this way or that way. You remember when God saved you. You remember when you were called into ministry or you surrendered to serve the Lord. But now you're getting second thoughts. You're trying to find your place in life. You don't know whether to make money or to serve the Lord. You're struggling. Some of you have quitting on your mind. The Bible tells us if we don't consider Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against all logic, the things happened to him, he did nothing but good and got nothing but bad. If we don't evaluate, if you want a life that's fair and easy and not complicated, then you're just not going to have it and serve the Lord. Lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. I'm concerned because young people, if there's ever been a need for you to live for Jesus Christ and to give it your all, it's now. It's your time. Now is the accepted time. Now is an opportunity for you and I to do something for the Lord. You're wonderful young people. I love you and I think the world of you. And this ministry is too hard to continue except for you. The reason we open these doors is not for a campus, it's not for a name, it's not for a legacy, it's because of you, young people. You're the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not the only hope, may not be the best hope, but you are young people that God has definitely brought to this location. He's brought you here, you don't want to doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. But some of us need to stir up the gift of God that's in us. Some of us need to figure out our purpose. What in the world God put us on the planet for? You got to decide, what am I going to do? And what can I do to create a passion for Jesus Christ? The man who wrote Romans, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Unbelievable, effective Christian. God used him greatly, and of course he came. Most of us are second generation Christians, and some are third and fourth. I'm that way. I'm in your group. Most of us did not get saved as adults. Most of us, our parents got saved. How many of your parents, they're first generation Christian like me? Anybody, your mom and dad got saved as adults? Anybody like that? Okay, that's where I was. My dad got saved. He was a first generation, one first person in his family to get saved. And life was new for him. Christianity was new for him. For me, I'm a second generation Christian. But somewhere in my life, and I can't tell you exactly how it happened, and it's still happening, God has challenged me to be stirred up, to have some passion about the work of the Lord. It may be because of the prayers of my mom, my dad, no doubt their investment, no doubt great pastors I had growing up, no doubt this place right here. where I came and moved in here to Malone 2 and came to this room hundreds of times in 4 years, went to Chicago hundreds of times, went to hundreds of bus meetings. Somewhere along that line, I got some passion to serve the Lord, and that passion still has to continue. Still has to be stirred up. But the Apostle Paul stayed passionate. He said, I might know him and the power of his resurrection when Christ, who is my life, shall appear. And he had never been to Rome. The people he writes to, he had not been there yet. He wanted to go. And he knew that God was going to take him there. He didn't know he would go in handcuffs and with police escort. But that's how he got there. But while he was waiting to get there, he wrote the book of Romans to them. And in the few verses we read today, there's several things that I believe that God tells us that stirred up a passion to serve the Lord. Young men, you're not made to goof around. You're made to punch a hole in the darkness with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not made to be stylish. You're not made to be a model. You're made to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you need to get serious about that. You spend more time on your hair than you do the Word of God. You spend more time and foolish things that go so quickly away than things that are... Some of you precious girls. Man, I think we have the best young ladies on the planet in this room. Some of you, though, are goofing around. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's about how you feel, how you think, what you want. And you're not thinking about how I can be used of the Lord and what am I supposed to be doing. Now, all of us need to get a sobriety about us. In these few verses here, as I contemplate this chapel, I wanted to share with you a couple things that I think that generate passion. Verse number 9, the Bible says, for God is my what? I think, number one, the presence of God generates passion. When you know God is with you and God is watching you, and friend, He is. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Number one, passion is generated when I know God is watching me. When God is with me. What happens when you know the fear of the Lord? You elevate your behavior. You're not going to slip in a movie theater if you know God's presence on your life. You're not going to hold hands with your girlfriend if you know God's presence is on your life. You're going to be in church and be interested in other people if you know God's presence on your life. Knowing God is with me. It's a lonely world trying to serve God without God. But it's a wonderful thing to serve God, and something stirs up when I know God is with me. I was talking to Him this morning. I'm sure you talked to Him this morning. Just getting happy with Him. So glad He would love me. I'm so glad He would save me. I'm so glad He would give me. And as you listen to Brother Cowling give his testimony just for a few moments there before he prayed, you know, the guy's thankful that God would rescue him out of University of Tennessee. Give him a life that has counts for eternity. What a beautiful testimony that is. Why? Because the presence of God, number one, stirs up my passion, stirred up by the presence of God. Number two is stirred up through prayer. Look at the next verse, if you would, please. In verse number 9, he goes on, he talks about making, the end of verse 9, making mention of always in my prayers. Verse number 10, making request. There's passion for the Lord and there's passion for ministry whenever people pray. Vision and passion are birthed in the prayer closet. Young people, listen, I plead with you, young men, young ladies, spend time with the Lord. Love Him. Love the Lord. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in a prayer closet. Take time during the spring break and you walk with God. See, we always do more for God when we know Him, when we love Him. The deeper I grow in my love for Christ, the higher my ceiling of commitment comes. Passion is stirred up. First of all, when I know the presence of God. Second of all, when I have prayer time with God. When is your prayer time with God? Can we record the last 24 hours of your conversation, everything that came out of your mouth? How many times would you have said, "Our Father, please help me. God, I need your help. Keep me pure. Keep me right. Keep me passionate. Lord, bless that person. Help that person. Help me be a blessing to my roommate. God, give me safety as I drive here." Prayer. Prayer breeds passion, and it's a hard thing to do. It's a good thing, but it's not an easy thing to do. But he said, you know, number one, I know God is my witness. Number two, prayer is my mode of operation. Number three, I want you to notice this in verse number 11. "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some," what? And then I want you to read the rest of it with me together. "To the end that ye may be, you prosper others." I think, in my opinion, one of the most powerful things about being a Hiles Anderson College student, and you know, some of you girls, you're still not in ministry. You're not helping anybody. You're passing your classes, you're paying your bills, you're working your job, but you're not helping somebody in the work of the Lord. Every one of us ought to make somebody else, their spiritual growth, my personal responsibility. I tell you what, I get the chance to speak to thousands of people on a weekly basis. Last week I preached 11 times to scores and scores and hundreds of people. But you know what? One of my greatest blessings this morning is to sit down with a guy who got saved in our church and go through a discipleship lesson. And I'm watching him grow. So how's your marriage going? He said, "Well, you know, it's not as good as it ought to be, but it's better than it used to be." He said, "I've seen the last month, my wife's really growing. Things are going better." Man, it's a beautiful thing to see him developing a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something about that. He said, "You know what stirs me up is that I can impart to somebody else a spiritual gift, and with that gift, I can help them be established." You know, most of us can mark our spiritual growth back to a person who loved us and helped us. Talk to me about that. Real quickly, raise your hand if you can know the person that really has tremendously influenced you, Jake. Yes, sir. I know Brother Tony well. Man, what a great guy he had. Abraham Torres. Go. Brother John Peck. Yes, sir. David.
Brother Kenny Menendez.
Amen. Amen. How about in the back over here? Someone had their hand up? Yes, sir.
My dad.
Your father. Amen. I've got a dad like that, too.
My friend, Mrs. Gonzalez.
Mrs. Gonzalez. Good. Elvis.
My aunt and uncle.
Your aunt and uncle. Good. Most of it can... Yes, sir. Donnie. Brother Dignan. Amen. Creighton? Good. Your pastor? Most of us have a person, you know, and I do too. I've got people, and I can tell you a lot of people, because I moved around like a gypsy growing up, and lots of different people influenced my life outside my mom and my dad. But, you know, sometimes they're just older people. This summer we have a summer school session with Darren Myers on the spiritual war for the nations on the second week of summer school. I hope many of you will take that class. That'll be a... It's helpful to you for your educational process, and I think it's going to stimulate you. But Darren Myers, when I was 16, he was 17. And he was, when he could drive, I didn't have a driver's license yet. I would drive, and we'd go to meetings together. He had asked me, what verse you reading? When I was in 10th grade, he was in 11th grade. God used him, and he helped me in my own life. I didn't have an older brother. He kind of became someone who was really influential and provoked me to love and good works. Help disciple me, if you will. But you know, something stirs your passion when you have somebody. You know, one of the things that's helped Hiles Anderson College students down to the ages is that when they go out on Saturday, there's somebody that's wanting them to be there. There's a bus kid. And the other day, I think I told this to you, and forgive me if I'm repeating that again, but it always blessed me. We had a lady out soul winning the other day, and she was with a soul winning partner, and she was going through the Dollar Tree. She led the lady to the Christ, who was a cashier. No one else was behind her. She said, "Okay, maybe this." And she goes, "I'd love to get saved." And she got saved. They got out in the car, and the silent partner, who was really a silent partner, never even opened her mouth one time, scared to death. She said, "Did you see that lady over there sitting by the window? She was listening to everything you said." She said, "No, I didn't see her." She said, "You think she's still there?" She said, "Let's go back and look." Went back in there, and the lady sat down. She said, "Ma'am, were you listening to what we talked this lady?" She goes, "Yeah, I was." He said, "Would it be okay if we talk to you about it?" She goes, "Let me ask you a question. Are you from that church at First Baptist of Hammond?"
Amen.
He said, "We had two young men from that college used to come by our house every Saturday." He said, "My kids used to ride the bus." He said, they're now in their upper 20s. One's even 30 years old. He said, but about 10, 15 years ago, these kids used to come there, and they'd always want to witness to me. They'd always want to give me what you're telling that lady. But I never was interested, but I'm interested today. And right there beside the window sill, a Dollar Tree, they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, large in part because two bus workers went to that home and continued giving the gospel out. Oh, find somebody that you're going to take responsibility for. Find somebody you're going to love. Find somebody you're going to help. It'll stir up some passion when, first of all, you understand that you live in the presence of God. Number two, you got prayer as a priority. Number three is whenever you're helping somebody prosper. By the way, you can't help anybody any more than you can lead them to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But you notice the next thing real quickly, and I love this particular verse. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. You see, not only here a pure faith, but a partnership. I love serving God with Brother Douglas. I love serving God with Brother Andrew and Brother Collins. And all of these servants of Christ. One of my highlights of my week is to come to Howells Innocent College staff and faculty meetings. I love it. Because there's a mutual faith and a partnership. These people aren't here because they make money. They're here because they want to be here because God put faith in their heart. But you know, one of the things that really do stir up passion is when I'm with them. I hope when they're with me. When you're with each other. Passion is stirred up through a partnership and through pure faith. I want to quickly give you two more things, and thank you for following along. But if you would please look at the next verse, verse number 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. See, I've tried to get to you lots of times. I have not been able to do it. That I might have somewhat among you also, even as among other Gentiles. You know, one of the reasons that Paul wanted to get to the bus route of Romans, why he wanted to go soul winning over there, because he wanted eternal fruit. He wanted a profitable eternity. Young people, I want to encourage you, think about 2 days, today and that day when you stand before the Lord. God longs to reward you. And you're going to be glad I did or wish I would have when you stand before God. And a lot of it's going to be because of eternal fruit. The Bible says, he that reapeth, receiveth wages. He said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and your work that you give toward the saints. He'll reward you. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Something that motivated the Apostle Paul, there's no doubt about it, he was motivated by reward. He said, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, I can't wait to get rewarded. I don't know about you. How many like payday? You like payday? It's one of my favorite times. I like it. I don't work just for nothing. When I went to work, I didn't work just for nothing. I look forward to the end of the day. You like the candy bar payday? Nate, you're the flower of your family. You know that? Bloomin' idiot. No, I'm just joking. That's not nice. Nate's on a different plane there, brother. 747? 747. Yeah, I'm on a 777. You're on a 747. No, but you know, I like paydays. I like paydays. You know, I'm looking forward to the payday that I'll have from the Lord. I want to be there. And it stirred up the Apostle Paul. It kept him passionate. Young people, let me tell you something. Dr. Calling could have stayed at the University of Tennessee. He'd been retired by now. He'd probably have a little bit of an easier life. Would not be probably teaching here. He'd have a lot more money in 401ks and retirement. But he'd been much poorer at the judgment seat of Christ. Delayed gratification is important. You learn to say, you know, my time in. Nothing is easy on the front end, but it's really good on the back end when you serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you, young people, be stirred up by the fact that what you do is right, God rewards right. Nothing is done for Him in vain. Then I want to quickly close with this. I want to remind you, I know this is not a flashy message, but I'm concerned because I don't want you not to get stirred up. I want you to stay passionate because there's blessing for the passionate servant of Christ who lives in the presence of God, who has prayer as a priority, who is caring about the profit of another and another person to prosper, that they can be established in the faith, that has a partnership of pure faith, that they have also a profitable mindset and a profitable eternity. But I want you to look at the last one, and I want you to look at it with me, verse number 14. I am a debtor both to the Jews and the Greeks. You know, that's why we serve the Lord. It's because we're in debt. We're in debt to God and to the Jews and the Greeks. Anyone who needs the gospel, and I want you to look at verse number 15. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to do what? Getting people the gospel keeps you stirred up. When's the last time you led someone to Christ? Last time you sit down with a sinner. I've been traveling and I've enjoyed traveling. It's fine. I've got to witness to a man named TJ yesterday. But I'm looking forward to going to houses tonight. Got some visits I want to make where I can sit down with unsaved people and talk to them about Jesus. It's not always what I ought to. I probably should do a lot more than I do, following up with Christians. But I tell you something about he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with something joyful about helping people get saved. Amen. Preaching the gospel of Christ. Discipling converts. Stir up. Remember why God put you on the planet. You're not here just to suck air. You're not here just to listen to another song, sing another song, make another dollar. You're here to push the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay stirred up. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for these young people. Thank you for the way they've listened.